Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Good morning, church. It's great to be with you this morning. So a little bit about me. My family and I were former Free Methodist missionaries. We served in Chiang Mai, Thailand. I don't know if you remembered, but when we transitioned back to the States, we found ourselves in your community at the end of 2021, and you embraced us. You might not recognize me because it was COVID time, so does this help? So after we left, I went and served at the Greenville Free Methodist Church for a year, but currently we are in Iowa City planting a creative expressions church plant. It's going to be more of a home church model. My entire congregation is on the screen right now. So we partnered with another family that we are incredibly close to. We met them in Greenville, did youth ministry together, and the Lord has brought us together again in Iowa City. In fact, we bought a house a block away from them, and so we do a lot of life together. And then, I don't know if you saw on the first slide, but I am the Reverend Jenna Battleson. It's new. I've been a reverend now for a month, and so I was Bishop Kenny's first ordinand stateside, so that was truly awesome, and I'm so grateful to be here this morning. So you heard our text this morning. It is about the falling out of our dynamic duo, Paul and Barnabas. And so I know that you've been walking through Acts together as a congregation. So let's take just a quick look back at the friendship of Paul and Barnabas before we get to the end of their working relationship. Barnabas shows up on the scene in chapter 11. The Jerusalem church sends him to Antioch because they're getting word that the Holy Spirit is breaking out there, and Jews and Gentiles are coming to faith that Israel's Messiah is Jesus. And there is amazing things happening as the first multicultural, multi-ethnic church is being created. These people are learning to live together as one people, one body of Christ. And when Barnabas sees all of this, he's like, I am going to need help discipling them. And so the first person he thought of was Paul. And as you can remember, at this point, Paul was the recently converted former persecutor of the church. People were a little afraid of him. He was intimidating. And if there was ever a time to question Barnabas's judge of character, this would be it. Paul, that guy? Really? But they were really successful together in discipling this church in Antioch. And as they built up leaders, the church was like, you know what? I think we're okay without you. We want to commission you to go out on your first missionary journey and do more of the same. And so that's where the text finds us today. Paul and Barnabas are discussing going back through Galatia to encourage these fledgling Jesus communities and maybe continuing the missional work out and beyond Galatia. But the thing is, Barnabas wants to take his cousin John Mark along, who was going to come with them and did go with them on the first trip through Galatia, but for whatever reason, turned back and left in Pamphylia. And Paul was going to have none of that. And so they had a very bitter and public row over whether or not to bring this extra person along with them, which results in them going their separate ways. But I want you to think this morning, why would Paul, a former questionable character himself, not give a second chance to John Mark? So our supporting text this morning in Galatians provides some context as to the something more that could have been going on behind the scenes. And to put that into perspective, the letter to the Galatians was just written between Acts 14 and Acts 15. In Acts 15, that Jerusalem council where they're meeting and arguing and discussing what to do with the Gentiles, do they fully convert to Judaism or do they get to remain uncircumcised and do we have to find a different way to get along? That's the question that's wrestling in the book, the letter of Galatians. And so there was these Messiah-believing Jews who were going around to all the different places that Paul and Barnabas had been going to, and they were preaching a different gospel, one that required full conversion of the Gentiles. And Paul was so upset because he heard that these guys were so intimidating and so persuasive that they even got Peter, Barnabas, and the rest of the Jews to break fellowship with the Gentiles in Antioch. Paul and Barnabas' relationship was already a little bit on thin ice. So when Barnabas approached Paul and said, "Let's bring Jean-Marc too," Paul was like, "No, Barnabas, you failed me, and now you want to bring another person along that failed me? No, I can't do this." So Barnabas took off with Jean-Marc, and they went to Cyprus. We don't hear about Barnabas again on the pages of Scripture. And Paul chooses a new companion, Silas. And I don't know what the Antioch church did, but they're like, "Okay, we're going to pray over you, and we're going to send you off and maybe not talk about this." So they did. They went through Galatia. I think I have, you'll see a map of Galatia here in just a few minutes to see where they traveled. But before I continue, I want to think about a couple of things. Relationships are hard. God chose a worldwide movement. All are included in under the Messiah, Jesus. But when you have different cultures and different races and different ways of thinking, it is going to be really hard to get along. And so my husband and I, in the middle of the pandemic, we found that we weren't communicating very well. I mean, we were overseas. We didn't know what was going on. The stress and the pressure was mounting, and our relationship was taking a hit. And so we found ourselves in marriage counseling because sometimes you just need help to get along. And the counselor told us, like, "I'm not concerned that you're having disagreements. Disagreements are normal. What I'm more concerned about is how do you reconcile after? How do you come back together?" And so as I continue in my sermon this morning, I want you to think about these things. How do you recover and continue in ministry or any relationship after such a bitter and public falling out? And then is it possible to reconcile with someone that you may never interact with again? We don't know if Paul and Barnabas ever got back together again. We don't know if a letter was written and they worked it out. That's lost to history. But can you reconcile and maybe never work together again? So I'm going to take you back through the scripture passage, but we're going to practice biblical imagination. This is something we've been doing in our church plant where we are taking the word and we are reimagining it and putting it into story form. And when I brought this text to my church plant, I did it in the version of what if Paul wrote a journal during this time? What might he have written down in his journal? What was he thinking about? So if you want to walk through the passage in your Bibles, you can, to hold me accountable, to make sure that I'm sticking with the story, you can, or just sit and listen to a story for a moment. So entry number one, I am still fuming over the audacity of Barnabas, thinking we could bring Jean-Marc along on our journey. I couldn't do it. Jean-Marc had abandoned us, just like Barnabas abandoned those Gentiles when those hardline Jews came to visit. I've never been more thankful for a couple-day walk to Derby so I can just calm down and focus on the ministry ahead. Entry two. we entered the community of Derby, and my heart panged a little bit as the memory surfaced of my dear friend Barnabas carrying me into the city, beaten, bruised, half dead, after I had just been stoned in Lystra. I remembered the tenderness of my friend as he, by my side, preached the story of Jesus, and the people received the gospel, and then they also came to my side and cared for me, restoring me back to wholeness. He would be so overjoyed to see this church thriving, still clinging to that gospel message we preached to them and growing in their faith. Then Silas and I went on to Lystra, and I didn't know what to expect. Last time we were here, they tried to worship us. Who did they think we were again? They were those worthless gods, Zeus and Hermes. And I chuckled at the memory and how overwhelmed and scared Barnabas and I were. We had heard the stories of God striking people dead that were arrogant enough to receive worship only reserved for the Lord. I leaned over to privately share this message with Barnabas, forgetting he was not here, and my companion was Silas. I think it's apparent that I miss my friend. Was I too harsh with him? Now, Silas and I spent some time in Lystra, hearing how the Spirit created a church in the city in our absence, and there was a young man named Timothy that I was most impressed with. I knew I wanted him on my team and to accompany us as we began our ministry beyond Galatia. He was half Greek by his father and half Jew by his mother and his grandmother, and just like our friend Titus. But unlike Titus, I realized that in order for him to travel with us, I needed to make him culturally and fully Jewish. Timothy was going to need to be circumcised. And I know what people are thinking. Paul, didn't you just write us a letter that said these Gentiles don't have to get circumcised? Isn't that what the letter from the Jerusalem Council says? Why are you circumcising Timothy? Isn't that kind of hypocritical? And I tell them again and again, no. I didn't know where we were heading next, but we would meet other Jews who had not heard of the Messiah Jesus or the events happening in and around Jerusalem, that the Messiah had come, was crucified, lives again. They would not know about the Holy Spirit or that the salvation message was also for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. They probably had not heard that Jews and Gentiles were occupying tables together, living in fellowship like brothers, that this Jesus way brought unity the likes of which had never been seen before. And they would never hear these miraculous events if they knew that Timothy was not a real convert to Judaism. We would never be allowed inside the synagogue or taken seriously to have a Gentile in our midst. So for the sake of the gospel, I had him circumcised. I was not being hypocritical, but that realizing that as messengers of the gospel, completely free in Christ, sometimes we have to yoke ourselves with these burdens so that others may hear and be free as well. Entry 3. Our Galatian churches are thriving. Oh, how I wish Barnabas could see them. He would be so encouraged and overjoyed. Timothy, Silas, and I made it to Pisidian Antioch, the last city on our Galatian tour. And then we would set out into new territory, and we did not know where we would go next, but we trusted the Holy Spirit based on everything we had experienced thus far. We expected more of the same in every city that we would enter, and eager and excited and a little nervous, we set off. Entry 4. Weeks have passed. We traveled through all of Phrygia, Galatia, but the Holy Spirit forbade us to speak the word anywhere in the province of Asia. Forbade us. Can you believe that? The Spirit won't tell us where to go, but says where not to go. I have never experienced this before. These people need to hear that the Messiah has come, but the Holy Spirit is saying, no, God, I don't understand. Entry 5. We came to a region called Mysia and tried to go into the place of Bithynia, but again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow us to do so. Frustrated, we passed by Mysia as well. And as we walked and walked, I reflected on the time my Israelite brothers and sisters wandered in the desert. They were not given the promised land until God worked out his purposes in them, dealing with the things of the heart. And I thought about what things in my heart the Lord might be asking me to deal with or repent. And I sensed that maybe there was something deeper going on. I am grieving how I left things with Barnabas. We did split up in haste. Did I even ask the Holy Spirit if breaking things off with Barnabas was what I was supposed to do? Did my temper get the best of me? Is this God's way of giving me time to reflect on what happened? Maybe I am no different than Peter or John Mark. My pride and arrogance led me to treat my friend harshly. And did I not also abandon Barnabas? We followers of Christ are not perfect. And while the Holy Spirit empowers us, while we bear the mark of Jesus, the sins and the patterns of our old behaviors still creep up on us sometimes. God is still doing a work in me. And I must confess that I messed up back in Antioch. My brother Barnabas should be by my side along with John Mark. And I began to pray, Jesus, forgive me for how things ended with my friend. Give me an opportunity to reconcile with my brother Barnabas, as well as John Mark and Peter. Amen. Entry 6, the locals tell us we're in a city called Troas. I'm exhausted. We have not had an opportunity to share the gospel with anyone in weeks, maybe months. We have only been given vague directions from the Holy Spirit. Maybe it would just be better to give up and go home. We found a place to sleep that night, praying that the Holy Spirit would give us directions on where to go next and soon. Now, I want to emphasize this was just an exercise in biblical imagination. Luke doesn't tell us anything, but we know that Paul covered a ton of ground without getting to do any ministry. And this is very uncharacteristic of the Spirit thus far. And then as you continue to walk through Acts, Paul knows exactly where he's going. The Spirit confirms it in him time and time again. So this is not how the Spirit interacts with Paul after this either. So what is happening here? I think Paul was forced into a wilderness season to grapple with the reality he would face amongst the body of Christ. Not everyone was going to be like him. When faced with persecution and pressure from both within the church and outside the church, people were going to fall. They were going to be led astray. They were going to let the church down. And simply discarding them as failures and moving on was not going to be acceptable. Paul needed to find a way to reconcile these believers back into the body of Christ. And some were going to need second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And I think this is why when we read the letters of Paul from here on out, they are one part theology and one part practical application with a heavy emphasis on how to live together as one unified body. One part, many members, just like Wick was telling our children this morning. This is why Paul writes in Colossians, bear with each other and forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's why in Ephesians he said, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up. And then just after that, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgive one another. And then in Romans, live in harmony with one another. And so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Paul often references the fruit of the Spirit that we first hear about in Galatians. He goes back to this time and time again. And kids in the audience, do you remember the fruit of the Spirit? Do you know the song? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness too, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Oh, so much self-control. And And I think if you see these fruit in our lives, like that means that we're living by the Spirit, lined up with the Spirit. And I think this fruit is the foundation for healthy relationships with other people. And that's why from here on out, Paul works tirelessly to repair relationships so far as it depends on him, encouraging others to do the same. This is Paul's reconciling work. And Barnabas, yes, we don't hear much about Barnabas. We don't hear anything about Barnabas from here on out. But I believe his reaction could have gone one of two ways. Barnabas could have sailed off with John Mark, super angry. The anger could have clouded his judgment. That anger and that bitterness could have spilled over onto John Mark, sowing seeds of mistrust and division. John Mark being caught in the middle of this feud between these two best friends could have become disillusioned with these people of the way. He could have kicked the dust off of his sandals and walked away. But that is not what happened. Barnabas found his own way to reconcile with Paul, and we know this because Barnabas produced a disciple that would later become a faithful co-worker of Christ alongside Paul. We see this because in Paul's final letters, when he was imprisoned in Rome, we can see what he writes. He says, in Colossians, my fellow prisoner sends you greetings, as does Mark, Barnabas's cousin. And then in Philemon, it says, my fellow prisoner in Christ sends you greetings, and so do Mark, my co-worker. And then in Paul's second imprisonment in Rome, he writes to Timothy, only Luke is with me, but can you bring Mark? For he is useful to me in ministry. This could not have happened unless Barnabas chose to be generous towards Paul, not letting his anger get the best of him. He chose to continue to invest in Mark and not to take the falling out personal. It was never about you, Mark, to begin with. And it took a good mentor and friend to not let that disagreement turn Mark away from Jesus and continuing on in the Great Commission. Where would we be if Mark had walked away? I mean, he wrote the gospel that bears his name, the one most scholars think that both Matthew and Luke held in their hands and referenced as they wrote their own. God had plans for Mark. And all of this was the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the evidence of the helper that Jesus promised would come when he ascended to the Father. It's the Spirit that enables us and empowers us to do the things we could never do on our own. It's that conviction of the Holy Spirit that is always at work, reconciling us first back to Jesus and then restoring our relationships, even if they're never restored face to face. We can always forgive those that hurt us. Sometimes we can't work it out, or we can come back together again. And that is okay. That forgiveness piece is the most important part. And obviously, we can reconcile in different ways. But this is not easy, church. And I know this firsthand. Early on in my ministry experience, I was dismissed from a ministry position due to conflict with an unhealthy leader, and I can tell you that I did not conduct myself like Barnabas. I let my anger get the best of me. I was not careful with my words. I absolutely planted seeds of mistrust and division, and a thriving 20-year ministry imploded. And I have heard that it is no ministry like it has ever been allowed to function at that church ever again. And I am partially to blame. What would have happened if I took my pain and my hurt to the Holy Spirit and I trusted that God would have somehow worked it out in the end? If I could have just let go of my need to be seen for how wronged I was and just walked away quietly, would that ministry still be there? Would a healthier leader have taken over that could have reconciled and restored and healed what was broken? God, forgive me. And I take comfort, church, in the fact that the writers of our scriptures were not afraid to write even about their shortcomings, showing us how hard it was going to be to live as a unified body of Christ, that the pillars of our church struggled with this too. And praise God that we get to ask for forgiveness and try again. And believe me, we do get to try again, because a few years later, I was dismissed from yet another ministry position. And I found myself in a very, very similar situation. But I vowed to do things differently this time. Not perfectly, but differently. And I leaned into the Holy Spirit and I asked questions such as this. Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in how I am conducting myself? Are my words and my actions towards others, even those that hurt me, generous and edifying? Will I refrain from responding in anger and instead choose self-control? It's so hard. Am I quick to forgive, prohibiting that bitterness and anger from taking root inside my heart? Am I seeking out safe, confidential spaces to work out my anger, hurt, and feelings of betrayal? There is talking about it, and it's gossip, right? Or there's talking about it confidentially, and it doesn't. Someone that can speak truth back to you, like, this is where you messed up. This is where maybe the other person messed up. This is how we can move forward. This is how we make a plan to go on. This one's so important. And then, do I trust the Holy Spirit to take care of me and even the person that wronged me, even if we never have an opportunity to reconcile face to face? This is hard. But I stand before you as evidence that the Holy Spirit is faithful, that the sanctifying work of the Spirit really does grow and mature us, but we have to stay sensitive to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We do get second and third and fourth chances to try again. We get to show the evidence of that maturing work of the Spirit in our lives. Church, our walk together is not going to be pretty. We're going to have disagreements, disputes, and even breakups. But the difference with believers is, how will we reconcile and move forward hand in hand with the Spirit? Will we move forward with a chip on our shoulder, continuing to cause more damage in our wake? And we all know what that looks like. Or will we surrender to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, allowing reconciliation to permeate our hearts and our minds and allowing us to do differently next time? Let it be the latter. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord Jesus, you chose to work in and through us. Messy, broken people who often don't know how to get along, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for the work of your Spirit that doesn't just leave us where we are, but is always teaching us anew how to be more loving and kind and gentle, to exercise that self-control, Lord Jesus. We want more of that Holy Spirit, Lord, growing and maturing us. Lord Jesus, may we be slow to anger. May we be quick to forgive. May we allow space for the reconciling work of the Holy Spirit. You are a good God. In Jesus' name.